Hi, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll see who's a smarter gambler, Chuck Todd or a monkey. And we'll talk college and pro football with Booger McFarland. But first, commerce.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Vertical toothpaste.
I hate it.
So in the 90s, they had a pump toothpaste like that, which I'm sure was terrible for single-use plastics.
I know
the tube that you are missing.
I hate it.
And the worst part about a second home toothpaste is you are now stuck with this toothpaste.
Forever. I brought one here to try.
Yeah.
I brought one home to try.
Yeah.
Yes, it was in a tube. And
that's commitment.
I can't stand it. And I want to know, is this happening throughout the whole country?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So Carol yesterday went to Brookville Pharmacy and cleaned out the shelves of Crest Tartar Prevention toothpaste. Brought home
four. What's the shelf life for those toothpastes?
I don't know.
70 years?
12 to 15 decades. Are you kidding me? It's toothpaste. Stop it. I don't need Michael and Liz throwing this stuff out because it simply was bought in 2007. I don't need that.
One day we'll tell you about the horrors of the beach fridge.
Expired.
So anyway.
It's a lot of recycling.
A lot of small things to get to. Let me thank Keith and Becky Crum for a beautiful note, Keith Crum in Fairfield, Pennsylvania. Let's read it. Back in the early 2000s when you were still on radio, if anyone remembers what that is, I was a regular listener. I talked about the show so much my dad started listening on his drives between sales calls. We discussed the show regularly, especially appearances of the great John Riggins. One story of yours sticks out in particular. You were playing golf one Saturday, hit a nice drive down the fairway. Upon getting the ball, a group of men having a party at the house adjacent to the landing spot, they immediately recognized you. They started heckling you, saying you couldn't possibly hit the green with the next shot. You nervously approached the ball, and with all the strength you could muster, hit the ball, watching it sail in the air and land perfectly on the green, stopping 5 feet from the pin. You looked at the crowd of men and shouted, "Blank you." And they erupted in a joyful frenzy that the old ball orange guy hit an amazing shot under such pressure. Probably one of the greatest non-stories I've ever heard. You went on to say you posted pictures of the day. I went and looked and wrote to the show that your legs were so white it made you look like you were riding a chicken. You read my email on the air. I'd made the big time. That evening, my dad called. Said he was listening to the show, heard the mailbag portion, you read my email. He received calls from friends wondering if it was actually me that wrote to Mr. Tony. He proudly exclaimed that it was. Fast forward to this past weekend. I'm doing yard work, listening to a podcast episode from a few weeks ago. You tell another golf story. I stop, tears running down my face as the memory of my dad and that Mr. Tony moment come flooding back. Dad passed away in June, but that memory will live with me forever. He and I bonding over you. Thanks for being a light in the dark. Your words really do bring people together and mean a lot to us. It's really beautiful. Thank you so much.
Very lovely.
My thanks to Keith. Got a lot of small things to do today in the open. Nothing enormously consequential. Chessie ate a bagel sandwich the other day.
Yes.
Chessie went up on the counter. I had opened the sandwich. I was about to go to Helen for training.
Mm-hmm.
I ate about half of one half of the sandwich, leaving three quarters of the sandwich.
So you ate a quarter.
I ate a
one
quarter.
One half of a half.
Yeah, it's a quarter. Yeah. I ate half,
check
of,
it.
Half of a half.
Lead with a quarter. I ate
yeah,
a quarter of a sandwich.
I didn't eat like an eighth. I ate half of a half. So I put it in the tinfoil, and I kept it out on the counter. And I got back, and it was gone. Carol said to me, I just found some tinfoil.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so she didn't eat everything.
She didn't eat the tinfoil.
Smart dog.
She ate it. She ate three quarters of a bagel sandwich.
She ate the wrapper?
I had taken the wrapper off because I had eaten
half of a half.
I yelled at her. I said, bad. And she ran away.
She knew.
She ran away. And she didn't come near me for a couple of hours because I was angry.
Chessie, was it worth it?
It was worth it.
Did she use ketchup?
No.
A little dab.
She ate it as is.
She was probably so excited.
Here's something that's great. It's a small little note in the paper today. The Washington Nationals designated first baseman Dominic Smith and right-hander Corey Abbott for assignment.
Oh.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, thanks for coming
out. I don't know what they waited this long for, but that's it. Now, they also extended one-year contracts to Victor Robles and Tanner Rainey. I think Victor Robles is done. I think he's done as a major league prospect. I don't think he can hit major league pitching, but maybe I'm wrong. So he's back. They're not set in the outfield. They're not. They used about nine guys in the outfield last year.
Yeah.
You know, the only one they're set with is Lane Thomas. They're not set with anybody else. Tanner Rainey, you know, he's had surgery. If he can throw 98 again, okay. We'll see. But they designated Dominic Smith. One other thing. Actually, more than one other thing. The United States Soccer Federation confirmed that Emma Hayes will lead the women's national team, saying the London native will become the highest paid women's soccer coach in the world, but won't start her tenure in earnest until May, just 2 months before the Paris Olympics. That's why she's hired for the Olympics and the World Cup. That's why she's hired. And she's not going to start till 2 months before. Hayes, 47, will continue coaching English club Chelsea until the end of the Women's Super League season. Until then, Twyla Kilgore will continue in her interim role and collaborate with sporting director Matt Crocker in developing a plan to work with Hayes to ensure a successful transition. Sky Crocker says this is a unique situation, but the team is in safe hands with Twyla. Her stewardship will be crucial during this period as we are focused on success in the Olympics. Can I ask the obvious question here? If you think it's in good hands with Twyla, why didn't you give the job to Twyla? Why didn't you give it to someone else who's showing up an hour before the Olympics?
It's not like continuity is important in that sport.
I mean, that's got a company in the interview, right? When can you start? Oh, May. Sorry, that you're out.
You know, thanks a lot. We'll hire you before the World Cup. But we're not going to hire you now.
Yeah.
Because we like Twyla. Am I wrong? I'm sure I'm wrong on this. I'm sure soccer people will tell me I'm
wrong. Or if you look at the importance of this, can't you just buy out the contract?
Yeah. I mean, you're
Emma Hayes has said to them, you want me? Here's the deal. I'm riding the deal. Yeah. And they said, okay. I wouldn't do this. I mean, me personally, I wouldn't, but I don't know anything about soccer. So maybe she's worth it, but she's not showing up really until game time in the Olympics.
Yeah, that seems, it doesn't seem like it was done with a great.
And we've got to have, call. I mean, we essentially have a squad in transition because all of our famous people got
aged
old
out.
And they've left. They've retired.
Yes.
Again, soccer people know more than I do, but I wouldn't do this. If you told me that I could hire Bill Belichick, but he was showing up in the first week of the playoffs, I wouldn't do it. I don't know that we can get to them. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. One more thing. Rory McIlroy. One day after a critical meeting related to potential investors who could help secure the PGA Tour's economic foundation, Rory McIlroy abruptly resigned his position from the organization's influential policy board on Tuesday, citing, quote, professional and personal commitments, according to a memo from PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, who's apparently alive. Like, I didn't know he was still working.
Living, breathing commissioner.
Being supported by the Friends of Golf.
I didn't know, but do you want to explain this?
Again, this goes back to the events of earlier this summer in June when you realize that Rory McIlroy took on a role for 2 years as the public defender of
he was the most visible golfer
and saw himself as a sacrificial lamb. And they have until the end of December to try and finalize this this deal with the PIF with that fund.
Which doesn't look great now.
Rory's actually been on the record recently saying like that actually seems like the best path forward to try and mend some of the fences that have been broken in the last couple of years in the professional, only in the professional men's game. So the timing of this, when you've had more investors publicly now with their interest on the table, one of the deals was turned down by the tour about 2 weeks ago with Endeavor, and I think the timing of this says I want to try and play a bit more of a role in my story here. And when you hear personal and professional, I don't know what's going on with the family, but the professional seems a lot towards.
I want to win a major.
I'm going to get to that. I want to win a major, but I think right now this is related to the TGL with what he's doing in various other sports entities. And then it's interesting. You look at some of the other members who are on this advisory board. Patrick Cantlay, big interview in the Irish newspaper about a week ago where he goes, Patrick Cantlay and I have an average at best relationship. Mm. We see the world differently.
Right.
But again, I think this comes at a guy who is entering his mid-30s. Phil did not win majors until basically he was Rory's age. I think he was a year or two younger. But you have somebody who's not won majors in a long time. He understands that's where legacy is cemented. And I think this means I'm all in on Augusta in April 2024.
I believe that Rory McIlroy sat back and said to himself, I'm out there every single day. Everybody's coming to me every single day. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. It's not working out. People dislike me. As a result, I don't want this. I want to be a golfer again.
Yeah.
That's what I started out being, a golfer. I've got all this other stuff. I'm very happy for the money, but I want to be a golfer again, right?
Yeah, and I think he takes this stuff very personally, and he internalizes it because he's a very thoughtful and smart
athlete. He's a smart guy.
And I think it's tough for us outside of that Jupiter, Florida bubble to realize the entire center of the men's professional game is right there. You think about where his dad's a member. You think about the people that he runs into in sort of day-to-day living. And then you wonder, does he look back at a couple of these majors, say St. Andrews 2 summers ago, and realize maybe there is something, the decision-making on that Sunday was related to overtaxing my preparation when I was looking towards some of these other tour issues, not golf issues.
Yeah, so just a whole bunch of... Oh, also, Brandon Hyde, manager of the year in the American League, and then the guy from the Marlins in the National League.
Oh, yeah.
Good choices, I think. I mean, you would say, well, what about Bruce Bochy? Well, that happened at the end of the year. The entire season was the Orioles. They were the story.
Yes.
You know, they won over 100, and they had lost over 100 2 years ago. Brandon Hyde, very well deserving. We'll take a break. Chuck Todd, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Our friend George Millet sends us music from Marielle Craft and writes, she's an outstanding musician making her mark in Nashville and beyond. When I was doing Lifestyle Live in Indianapolis, she performed live on our show, wowing our audience and our production crew alike. And she's got 2 songs for us today. And she writes herself, hope all is well. I wanted to follow up because my music has finally been released. I'd love to pass it along to you to play on the show if you're interested. The EP is called Good, is composed of 4 different songs with the word good somewhere in the title. Each song reflects different meanings of good in our lives, brings about different moods sonically. That's from Marielle Craft. This is called Something Good. She has a lovely voice.
She really does.
Absolutely lovely.
It's terrific.
She plays in Chuck Todd, and I am forced by commercial restrictions to say this week's picks with Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. You were 3-4 last week. I think you lost again. I think you had 2 3-4 weeks in a row, but you lost again on the Washington football team.
I did.
What do you make of this? They are the stain on the shirt. Why can't you get that right?
I can't get it right. I keep assuming it's over. And I'll be honest, it's just a reminder. Franchises tank, players don't.
Right.
Right, and right. That's always the reminder. Franchises tank, players don't. And, even coaches don't. Although, why didn't he go for 2?
No, general managers tank.
Why didn't he go for 2? This is the second time he's done this. You get a time touchdown on the road, under a minute left. Why don't you go for 2? Rivera doesn't go for 2.
Well, so Rivera does. But, there's your answer. Rivera doesn't go for 2.
Right, he doesn't. And obviously I was holding out hope. If the only good news was going to overtime would have meant there's a chance Seattle could have scored a touchdown.
Right, 6.
5.5.
Yeah.
But
I don't know why they call Rivera Riverboat Ron. He doesn't do anything. Yeah. He doesn't gamble at all.
Isn't that calling a fat guy tiny?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're doing. But I'm got a small beef with you. I wanted to go Cleveland, and you really talked me out of it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I would have, because I believed in Baltimore.
Yeah.
At home. Sure.
That was a classic Baltimore. Just when you want to believe in them, you know what they do. Hang on.
And they do it late.
You don't have a lot of faith in us.
They do it late also. And Lamar Jackson had a pick 6 late.
Did you see, there's a stat. It was something like, Baltimore is like 140-5, went up by two scores or more. Three of their five losses are this year.
Wow.
Like so,
they don't
so
close. Their,
whatever it is, like, yeah, they have
close.
Blown this, or in the last 2 years, they have blown double-digit leads like this.
I'll give you a better statistic. They have played 10 games, which is 600 minutes of football. They've only been behind for 29 minutes, and they've lost three games. Isn't that amazing?
There you go. That's better than what I did. That's why you're a sports guy.
Yeah. Well, Matt Kelleher whispers in my ear. And
by the way, how's Reginald doing with this new sponsorship? Is FanDuel keeping him in the lifestyle he's accustomed to now that he's got a sponsor, new NIL deal?
It's even better.
Deal, right?
It's even better. He sleeps on, sheets of linen. He does.
What's the thread count?
About 300. Yeah. Egyptian linen, 300 thread count. All right, here we go. Thursday game. Best Thursday game of the year. By far. Not even close. Cincinnati, desperate to win at Baltimore. Not desperate, but they can eliminate Cincinnati, basically, if they beat Cincinnati. Because then they've beaten them twice this year. They hold all the tie breaks. And Cincinnati is in trouble. Cincinnati getting 3.5 at Baltimore without a couple of defensive linemen. A bunch of people are hurt, and it's hard to play on Thursday in a big game, and this is a big game.
And it's hard to win on the road on Thursday.
Yeah.
And that hook, they're begging you to take Cincinnati.
Yes, they are.
They're begging you to take Cincinnati, which means I'm going to take Baltimore.
Sure.
I will do it a little reluctantly, but because I've been riding Cincinnati well, but I Thursday road injuries.
Okay.
All of that.
Okie dokie. Next one is the dreaded Washington football team for you. The New York Giants, who are terrible. They are a god-awful team, the New York Giants. They're getting 9.5 in a division game at Washington. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of points. Washington, not a great offensive team. 9.5 is a lot, but I don't know. I don't know how Tommy DeVito can score at all. I mean, I honestly don't. So who you got?
I've been watching this line. It opened at 9.5, and I was just curious to see. You want to see, like, what is supposedly people with a lot of, data analytics. They pay for people to look for small, tiny edges. And this number hasn't moved up at all, I don't think. I don't know what you do here. You can't bet on Tommy DeVito.
Nope.
And you can't. You're supposed to lay more than a touchdown? More than a touchdown with the Commanders? I guess I will.
You're gonna lose again. You know that.
Of course. Would you bet on Tommy DeVito?
No, I can't. I don't think score. I don't think they can score any points.
But here's the thing. Like this game. Here you have New York and Washington. Last time I checked, those are two pretty big media markets. This is one of those games where the only two markets in the country that are going to get
are the local.
Are those two.
Nobody
right?
wants to see the Giants.
Nobody.
The Giants have lost to Dallas in two games by a total of 89-17.
It's possible our friend Scott will never get to this game, unless everything else is at halftime.
Just terrible. All right, here we go. This is a good game. Pittsburgh plus 3.5 at Cleveland. Pittsburgh has outgained every single time they play. 9 times, and they're 6-3. Cleveland scored many more points against Baltimore than I thought they would. Pittsburgh plus 3.5. It's a key game.
I'm going to keep fading Pittsburgh until they don't cover. For all the reasons, there is no statistical reason for you to take Pittsburgh. Right?
There's
nothing in there. It's just, they somehow win. I mean, the only thing I do with Pittsburgh in this case is you wouldn't mind teasing them where you could add 6 points and teasing it up to 9.5. Because they're sort of like the Vikings last year, right? When they were on this incredible roll.
One score games.
Right. Yeah. I think Pittsburgh just knows how to stay in a game. So if you can find a way to take them into a two score, you get it up to 9.5, suddenly that's something I might do with there. But And it's possible Deshaun Watson figured it out, for what it's worth.
Yeah, but didn't he get an MRI? Is he playing? Is he hurt? Is something wrong with him?
Is he hurt?
I don't know if he's hurt.
He is?
He got some sort of MRI, said he was going to play. I have something in my throat.
You got to tell this with Cleveland. They're on like a fourth string running back, aren't they?
Well, Chubb just went out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And, and this guy, Ford, has been in and out, and he's been kind of hurt.
All right, anyway, we move on.
But give me Cleveland. Give me Cleveland. We keep fading Pittsburgh.
The Raiders are getting 12.5. They've won two games in a row, but, and there's always a but, they've beaten the Giants and the Jets. They've won two in a row. They're at Miami. They're getting 12.5. What are you doing? Miami's your squad.
And this number just keeps going up. I think it opened at 10.5 on Sunday night, and it moved up. I'm going with the Dolphins here. Isn't this what they do? They spank bad teams.
They do.
They beat bad teams. Raiders are coming across the country. Isn't it a 1 o'clock? I think it's a 1 o'clock game.
So it's 10 o'clock in their body clocks.
Yeah, and didn't this what happened with the Colts, right? They get the temporary coach. It goes well for two games.
No, one game. No, Saturday won one game and lost all the rest.
Yeah. And the Giants don't count as an NFL team.
They do not.
This feels like the reality check for the Raiders.
Okay. The New York Jets are going to Buffalo. They're getting 7 points. If Buffalo doesn't win this game by 20 points, Sean McDermott, is that his name, is going to be fired at the end of the year. He just fired his offensive coordinator knowing that he's next. It's like James Franklin at Penn State firing the defensive coordinator knowing that he's next. Jets get 7. They can't score either. Who you got?
Well, you know this in TV, and I assume Reitholm knows this. Most people in TV, just like head coaches, you get an executive producer. You get an extra, you get an extra offensive coordinator, right? I think that's the rule. So I assume Reitholm knows this, right? He knows this, right?
I assume.
He's the sacrificial lamb. Nigel knows this, too.
Yeah, he's out.
Every producer knows it. Yeah. Exactly. You're the offensive coordinator. You're the Ken Dorsey. I'm sort of hoping Ken Dorsey goes to his alma mater and becomes
Miami's
offensive coordinator after all this is done. I'm with you. You got to assume this is Josh Allen's redemption game.
It has to be.
And if they can't win this, then
they're done.
Then he's done too.
Yeah,
I think
they're
you're
done.
Right.
Yes,
like McDermott's coaching for his job. All of those reasons. Put it all on. Put the mortgage on Buffalo.
And the Jets aren't any good. They're just not any good. Okay. Minnesota, team you like very much, watched for a long time. Minnesota's getting 2.5 at Denver. Denver has been resuscitated.
Are they good?
I don't know if they're good.
Your commentary yesterday. You fell on the sword.
I did.
You
know what?
Everything.
I think that every once in a while, if you have any journalism chops left, you have to say, look, I think I was right when I said they stunk, and I think I have to say they don't stink now. And if you don't do that, then I don't think you have any credibility. I took up the entire segment, and then Wilbon just laughed at me, which made me happy. Denver's 4-2 in their last six, and Russell Wilson in those six games is the second-rated quarterback in the entire NFL. But Minnesota has Josh Dobbs, the Pastronaut. the Pastronaut. I would never bet this game. 2.5.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet it.
These are tough ones because it's sort of like which one of these teams is a mirage.
Yes.
Maybe both of them.
Yes.
But one of them for sure is. I'm going to bet on the better coach. So give me Denver.
Okay. Take Sean Payton. One more game. Great game. Philadelphia, Kansas City.
Oh, the sandwich game. Yeah. Did you notice? You said it was the second best game of the week is tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the best game of the week is Monday.
Yeah.
Everything in between.
Is nothing.
I was just going to say it's kind of the very definition of S sandwich. Two great pieces of bread and a lot of double-digit dog meats in there.
This is Philadelphia at Kansas City. This is a rematch of the Super Bowl that Kansas City won. Philadelphia is now getting 2.5. What is the indication to you that they're getting 2.5 and not 3 for the home field?
I think this is I think they're worried about too many. It sounds like to me they're trying to get Kansas City money.
Yes, they want people to bet on Kansas City. Normally, this would be a 3-point game just automatically, and they lowered it to make it more attractive to take Kansas City so that a field goal helps Kansas City here.
I got a problem with Travis Kelce going off to South America. Do you? In the bye week?
Not particularly, although I remember when Tony Romo did that. some years back when he was with. How'd it work out for Tony Romo? $1 million a game. How'd it work out? Worked out pretty well for Tony Romo.
No, I think it worked out for him. How many Super Bowls did he win with Dallas?
Zero would be the correct answer.
And I know Kelce. By the way, just to understand what Swiftie Nation has done, my daughter comes home Friday. She's all excited. Dad, the Chiefs are playing. The Eagles, come on, let's go to that game. I think she's going to go. She was assuming the game was in Philadelphia.
Right.
When I told her the game was in Kansas City, she's like, okay, can we go? And I said, what, on the off chance that she's going? Well, yeah, and I get to be in the stadium when she's there. Just like, oh. Anyway, what I have to tell you, my daughter is the living example of the NFL just rushing to the bank. I mean, she's become a Chiefs fan. She didn't care about football in general.
Yeah.
And she's become a Chiefs fan thanks to Taylor
Swift.
So
in her honor, will you take Kansas City?
Not at all.
Right.
Give me the Eagles. If this game counted, let me ask you this. If this was for something, you'd probably bet on Kansas City.
I would.
Yeah.
I would.
This has all the makings.
It doesn't mean anything.
Regular season game? It does. The Eagles will be the one to pull this off.
Your daughter is of this age. I am too old. It's not that I don't like Taylor Swift. I don't know anything about Taylor Swift except it seems so unbelievable to me what a boost she has given the NFL. Taylor Swift, the only thing I remember is when Kanye West was mean to her.
Yeah.
Like years ago. She's great, right? Taylor Swift, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. And I don't get it at times, but here's what I do like about her. She seems as normal as any megalomaniac can be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that?
Like, and her commercials are attractive.
Michael Jackson was kind of weird, right?
Yeah,
Madonna
yeah.
was weird. Elvis was weird.
Yeah.
Maybe she eats peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches. I don't know. But so far, she doesn't seem like...
Well, we haven't heard that she's taken a gun and shot the TV.
No.
We haven't heard that yet.
Not yet.
Not
but
yet.
if the Eagles win and Kansas City doesn't cover, maybe,
Who knows? All right.
You never know.
Good luck with all of these. We'll talk to you next week. Chuck Todd, boys and girls. And if we just gave you Chuck Todd, that'd be more than enough. But we give you more. We give you a monkey. Here's the song.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant,
tapping
on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bite
too.
Sometimes he throws poo. When he's had too much
Johnny Walker blue.
I had another 1-2 week. He had escaped that. He'd gone 1-1-1.
Yes.
He doesn't win.
No, he really doesn't.
1-2, 10-19-1. That's even bad for a monkey, I think.
And like Chuck Todd, cannot seem to get the Washington games right.
No, doesn't ever get it right.
And it doesn't bode well. I'll let you know when we get to that. But I did go down to the zoo. It was a frenzied atmosphere in his cage. He was not in his regular flat. He was actually in his cage, which is sort of his office.
Is he angling for the old panda spot?
He was working the phones, trying to swing a trade to
Penthouse?
Bring the pandas back to D.C. So I just want to update you on the latest offer that's on the table for the Chinese. It's a Siberian tiger, Dominic Smith, and a gibbon to be named later.
Fantastic.
So we think that's a good, solid offer, and hopefully the Chinese will feel that as well. So the first match we gave him was the Washington football team hosting the Giants and giving 9.5. And yeah, he went to his closet, Mr. Tony. He pulled out a burgundy suit gifted to him by Deion Sanders from his time here in D.C.
Yeah, you should have taken. I should have taken that.
Yeah, so he will take the Washington football team and lay the ungodly sum of 9.5 points. Now, the next match we gave him was the Raiders at Miami getting 12.5. This was an old photograph of him in a little tracksuit watching the Raiders practice with Al Davis, John Madden, and Charlie Finley. It just tells me he's got ties to Oakland.
12.5 is a lot.
It's a lot of points. It's a lot of points.
It's just a lot of points.
Okay. Now, the last match we gave him was the Vikings getting 2.5 at Denver. This was a lovely photograph. He got a little bit misty-eyed when he showed it to me. It was him on a sleigh ride with
Bud Grant,
Keith Millard, and Tommy Two-Gun Kramer.
Of course, he always bets Minnesota.
Yes, so he'll take the Vikings.
All right, it's wonderful. This week's picks with Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey have been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Somebody actually writes, and Reginald the Monkey. That makes me happy. Make every moment more.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is Marielle Craft, brought to our attention by George Millay. Marielle Craft submitted her songs. This is called Good Days. You can listen to these songs without me yapping at the end of the podcast. And she's very good.
She's very good.
Michael, if artists like Marielle Craft who want to submit their original music for this show, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonycornersshow.com. And the order is in. TK Pecan. Still
pecan
available,
yes,
at johnnyo.com until their Black Friday sale begins.
Pecan.
We got you your pie for Thanksgiving.
That's wonderful. I don't...
Ooh, pumpkin pie for you.
No, I don't like...
He only likes two pies.
I like apple and cherry. It's all I like. Booger McFarland joins us now. I got to tell you this story before I ask you questions. So I'm sitting in the house yesterday about 3 or 3:30, and Matt Kelleher, our producer, sends me the questions for our guest. And you've been on my mind because I wrote down questions that I would want to ask you. And I look at these questions that Kelleher sends, and every one of them is from the perspective of an offensive lineman. So I call Kelleher, and I say, you realize, don't you, that Booger played defense? He's not an offensive lineman. And Kelleher says, you realize, don't you, Jeff Saturday is on today and Booger is on Thursday. That's funny, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
How
that's
stupid
one of those things, Tony, for me, it's good to know that I'm always on your mind.
Yeah, that is so weird. I said, oh, Jeff Saturday today. Okay, that makes sense. All right. So we have 6 walk-off field goals in 2 days. And the only reason we only had one on Monday is because that was the only game being played. Do you think people want to see those endings? Or do you think people would rather see, for example, a touchdown ending it? And so what I'm getting to is this weird sort of thing where I want to say that you can't do a walk-off field goal in the last 30 seconds or something like that. You played football. You didn't kick. You played football. How are you with kickers being that determining?
Well, even though they're a very minimal part of the game when it comes to as far as the time on the field,
yeah,
I do think they're an important part of it. And I think for players, it's ingrained in our mind at a very young age. Hey, guys, it's offense, defense, special teams. It's offense, defense, special teams. And no one part is really bigger than the other. I think that's the whole aspect of team sports, Tony. Like, we always want our kids, as we're growing up, to play team sports. And here's the reason. The reason being is so you'll get used to counting on and depending on other people, and because that's what life is about. Like, you couldn't do this podcast without depending on other
people
to do their job.
That's right.
And so I think when it comes to football, especially the player, even though the kicker is on the field, 5 plays a game and we're playing 70, they're still a very integral part and important part of the game. And we're kind of ingrained in that. Now, I do understand the fan perspective because you want to see the guys you see all the time, the quarterbacks, the defensive guys,
yeah,
the wide receivers, the guys that we know of and we think of and that are going to help our fantasy team. But for players, it's really no different than, like, the kicker, even though his job may be more important in that moment, he's no bigger than the star quarterback, especially in that moment when we need him.
You're right about the team ethic. I mean, tennis players and golfers are just so annoying because it's just all about them all the time. And I have noticed in recent years, tennis players and golfers talk about teams all the time, like their nutritionists, like their trainers. You know what I mean? They even want to have a team. They don't really probably want to be out there all alone.
No question, because, again, we can't do it by ourselves. And even in a sport like golf, like, you know, you and I are both big golf guys.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than being at a really good golf course, knowing that you're playing really well and you're walking and it's you and a caddy and you got a couple of your buddies and you and your caddy are kind of the team and you're focused and the caddy is in tune to your game. He knows, hey, I know you like to hit driver, but I've seen you hit driver the last 3 or 4 holes. Maybe we shouldn't hit driver here. Maybe we should pull out the old 4-iron or the hybrid and kind of hit it 200 down there and have 150 left in. That's teamwork. Now, I'm not going to listen to the caddy. I'm going to hit driver anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But it's just the thought of knowing that I have the guy there with me, yeah. and I can lean and depend on him.
That's wonderful. It's a wonderful story. 12 men on the field for Buffalo. That's inexcusable, right? Somebody has to go, don't they?
We want somebody to go. I guarantee you, behind closed doors, whoever it was responsible for counting those guys or his position group had an extra guy, I guarantee you that guy got a quote-unquote ass-chewing.
Yeah.
Because coaches understand, and Coach McDermott is one of the great team builders in our sport. And this is what I mean. He always takes the brunt of the blame. He always passes on all the credit to other people. So he's not going to call anybody out at the podium. But behind closed doors, he does what great coaches do, which is, I'm going to call you to the mat. It's inexcusable. I'm going to let everybody know inside of our building, but I'm going to keep it inside of our building. And I think there's enough blame to go around in that game where we don't have to blame one guy. I mean, they turned the football over four times. The defense gave up the drive to get down the field. The quarterback didn't play well. They fumbled. So I'm not going to blame one play on losing that game, but it is an important play because it's the final play we see.
Josh Allen is throwing interceptions like Dak threw interceptions last year. They're looking after the Jets. They are at the Eagles, at the Chiefs, home with Dallas. They could be 6-8. McDermott could be fired. This is the kind of season that gets a guy fired, doesn't it?
Normally it does, Tony. I don't think the Pegula family is going to react that way. I think the McDermott-Brandon Bean pairing has been very successful. I think they recently got an extension not too long ago, maybe a year ago. So I think they're going to be solidified. However, I do think they're going to have to answer some questions after the season. But you bring up a good point about Allen and Dak. Let me ask you this, Tony, because I'm kind of puzzled by this. Since Josh Allen has come in the league, he's leading the league in turnovers.
Yes.
However, if you go back 1 year ago, we have crucified Dak Prescott for the one season he had when he turned the football over more than anybody.
Yep.
How do people, and I'm asking you this question because I've been in the game and I look at it from a different perspective. As you cover this game and have covered the sport for a number of years, why do we view Dak so differently than we view Josh Allen, who the numbers clearly say he is the most turnover-prone quarterback in the last 5 years? However, Dak isn't, but it's almost seeming like we judge Dak differently than we judge Josh Allen. Why is that?
I agree with you that Dak Prescott is judged differently than everybody else, but I would tell you that that comes with the Cowboys. I would tell you that's a product of Jerry Jones. I would tell you that's a product of the Dallas Cowboys, that anybody in that seat, and I think this was true about Tony Romo when he was in that seat, that anybody in that seat is judged and given a much higher standard. And plus, you've got First Take for two years, leading every single show with Will Dak Get His Money? So when he finally got his money, he was held to a higher standard. And he didn't do particularly well last year. And this year, he's lighting it up. This year, he's one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the entire league. But I think it's because it's the Cowboys. Do you not?
Yeah, I think that's the answer I would lean to. It's puzzling to me because, you know, often, you know, we talk about the norm and the anomaly. Well, the norm is Dak Prescott has valued the ball. He's been he may not have been great, but he's been an above-average quarterback
yes.
his entire career.
And top
the
eight.
One year he had, exactly, and the 1 year he had, where he turned the football over, we made it this huge deal.
Yep.
Whereas Josh has been a turnover-prone quarterback since he's been in football. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's the difference? Both teams have Super Bowl aspirations. Both teams want to be the last team standing, but one is judged differently. But again,
well, here's why. I mean, well, Jerry Jones has a lot to do with it. But, you know, everybody likes Buffalo. Buffalo's a small-town team that's had a lot of bad luck, even when they've done well. They are a sympathetic team. You could use a lot of words to describe Dallas, but sympathetic would never be one of them, right? Never.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. People always look at the team that has adopted the moniker of America's team.
How dare you?
Or you hate them.
How dare you say you're America's? Please stop. Get out of here. Yeah. Dallas is by far the most loved and the most hated team. By far.
By the way, speaking of America's team, I find it funny, and I didn't do this on purpose, but it just came to my mind. I find it funny that there's a team in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where the head coach said they are America's team also, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for him to speak on Friday, because he's going to put however many feet he can in his mouth. I mean, he's just, come on. All right, let me get to something else. The Thursday night game is by far the best Thursday night game so far. The season probably will be the best of all. And that doesn't mean it's a good game. But Cincinnati at Baltimore will draw you to the set. There's no question about that. People will tune that in. How tough is it physically to play a Thursday night game?
It's extremely tough, Tony. Because here's the deal. Imagine being a marathon runner. And whatever the number, or not even a marathon runner, a boxer. Let's say you're a boxer, and you train 6 weeks to fight, and you have a fight. Imagine if somebody told you you had to do another fight in 30 days.
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially what you're asking a guy who plays football on Sunday. And let's say you play Sunday at 4:25. So by the time you get home Sunday night, it's, I don't know, 10 o'clock. You come in Monday, I mean, your body's sore. We all have a routine, cold tub, hot tub, whatever. You go to bed Monday, you wake up Tuesday. Tuesday's normally your day off. And Wednesday, you come to work and you start to prepare for the next week. Well, when you play on Thursday, Wednesday, guess what you're doing?
Traveling.
Somebody's getting on a plane.
Yeah, traveling.
Somebody's getting on a plane, getting ready to play a football game in 24 hours, and your body hasn't even recovered. You're taking, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're taking 3 days of recovery off to play a game on Thursday. And I get it. Everybody's got to do it, or everybody has to do it in the past. Some teams have to do it twice this year.
Yeah.
It's physically taxing, but here's what you tell yourself. If I can mentally get through it, I'm going to have a long weekend, because most coaches give their teams Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. So if I can mentally get the energy to get through it and deal with the physicality, I get an extra bye week. And I think that's the mind game that athletes play with themselves when it comes to how do I get to Thursday, how do I get through Thursday, and how do I become mentally tough enough to deal with whatever my body's dealing with to play on Thursday.
It's hard, and I think that's why home teams win a lot, because of the travel. Anyway, Berger, thank you as always. I appreciate it, and we'll see you on PTI on Thursday, tomorrow, right?
Looking forward to it. Can't wait, man.
I hope the questions are about defense, since I got it so wrong. Thanks, Booker. Booger McFarland, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll have email and jingle when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag, got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, gonna read some for all you folks.
That's Brian Dadler.
It's a nice one.
It's quick.
Yes, short and sweet.
It's just quick.
Yeah.
I was expecting more.
Well, after we had the very long one.
Get a second verse.
Yes, from Glenn Winters, yes.
Maybe someone has to go to physical therapy.
Yeah. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You would as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in, my friend, and you will be thrilled.
That'll do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say this old heart of mine been broken 1,000 times. Each time you break away, I fear you're gone to stay. Lonely nights that come, memories that flow, bringing you back again, hurting me more and more. That is the Isley Brothers. That's the best Isley Brothers song of all time. That's one of the top 10 songs of all time. This old heart of mine is a
song.
Great.
Yes.
And a great song. It's simply a great song. And one of the Isley Brothers' first name, O'Kelly.
O'Kelly?
Fabulous name. O'Kelly Isley.
That's great.
Thanks to our guests today, Chuck Todd, Booger McFarland. Thanks as well to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. All right. From Chris Campbell in Gaithersburg, Maryland, you will be relieved that the D.C. Target, where you get your CVS vaccines, that's Evelyn's.
Yes.
Stocks your Crest toothpaste. Just go to aisle B50. See attached map. He sends a map. Enter, take an immediate left, take a right at the toys. Wave hi to the new HOF toys, Hall of Fame toys. Remind them they aren't a WAF. When you hit the baby section, the toothpaste should be on the left. Rob Michael.
I know that section well.
Set up the Twitter app on your phone, order it with a credit card, and they will bring it to your car. Oh, wait, who am I talking to? I've hit that point where one of the first things I thought of yesterday was that I have to email Mr. Tony since the date was 11/12/23. That's great. Chris Campbell, that's great.
Be careful to go when they have mostly self-checkout.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like self-checkout.
You're not a fan of that?
No, I don't. I can't do it. I don't understand it. Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. While I appreciate your curiosity about toothpaste, I hope you're prepared for a bunch of littles to send you so much toothpaste that the captain will be wearing dentures by the time it's all used up.
I believe there's some on
its
way.
Reminded by Rob Stronach. He took a picture of Pepsodent. I had forgotten about Pepsodent.
Oh, Pepsodent. I remember
Pepsodent.
And
it's sold in Syracuse.
Yeah.
You know, sold in Syracuse.
Aquafresh was one I was thinking about.
Oh, Aquafresh.
Okay, this
came
is,
out in two stripes.
This is from Amanda. I just bought these for you on eBay, my go-to for items that are out of stock elsewhere. I'll send them to PTI unless you give me a different address as soon as they arrive. I mean, it feels like it's the least I can do for someone who's been my comfort animal for oh so long now. Thank you for your humor. We need more than that than ever these days. And it's Tartar Control Crest. And
regular
it says
paste?
Original flavor. It says original flavor. Nigel will be in touch with you.
There might be some issues if you start getting unmarked boxes of toothpaste sent to the ABC News building.
Yeah, well, so let's figure out another
one. Yes, we will get
from Michael Sandler, and I had no idea people would start doing this. From Michael Sandler.
Of course you did. Why'd you bring it up?
Really?
Because I thought it was a good thing to talk about. It bothered me.
Well, it is.
You don't need any sneakers, so you need some toothpaste.
I actually do need a new pair of Hokas.
Okay, Hoka.
It's Matt Abbottball, right?
In Chicago?
Well, I thought it was in
Evanston. Yes. Okay.
I thought his running store was in Evanston. The size is good, but I need another pair because I'm wearing these out.
Yeah.
That's all I wear.
Okay, let's get him Matt's a Foxtrot gift card or something to say thank you.
Michael Sandler,
shoes.
Warrenton, Virginia. I grew up in the 70s and 80s when toothpaste options seemed to explode. Although Crest and Colgate ended up winning the toothpaste wars, you also mentioned Aquafresh. You forgot about a few prominent brands over the past few decades. AIM, Close Up, Gleam, Pepsodent, and Ultra Bright. Yes, I forgot about those. All of those toothpaste, except for Gleam, can still be found on Amazon since they don't seem to command much shelf space anymore. Gleam was discontinued in 2014. Procter & Gamble later revived Gleam as a flavor variant of Crest, but sadly it seems to have been permanently laid to rest. I myself use ground charcoal, as I've done since the 1860s. From Kyle Tomany in Canton, Georgia. I completely feel your pain with toothpaste. Your struggle with Crest is not just a Crest issue. I've been struggling with the changes you talked about, and to know you go out of your mind about this in the same manner as I do brings me great pleasure. I, like Michael, switched from Crest to Colgate sometime in my adult years, but lately I've struggled to find the same tube of toothpaste each time I go to the store. I'm a flip-flop, traditional lie-flat, roll-it-up-from-the-bottom tube of toothpaste guy, as am I. They started making the tube you recently found, which is the stand-on-its-head type. But the problem with that tube is you can't get all the toothpaste out. You can't roll that tube up, and you can't push out all the paste at the end. I firmly believe they created that tube simply to make you throw out your toothpaste before it gets used completely. There's no way you can get all the toothpaste out of that tube. This is my emphasis.
Yep.
I have learned to save my toothpaste box so I know exactly what to look for in the store. I've stood in the store and gone from box to box, opening the end to see if it's the right tube. Flip top, not that screw top that falls on the floor when you set it down, and not that lousy stand on its lid, money-stealing, newfangled tube. I prefer the gel, but I'll take whatever they put in the tube as long as I get the right tube and the right top. That's just wonderful. From Tom, see the attached picture. Is this what you're after? Bottom shelf on the corner, you have to look for it, but three tubes for $4.95. Wow, that's a great deal, because usually that's one tube.
That's one tube, so that's a terrific deal.
From the local
deal.
Store here in Waco, three rows of this and about every 40 rows of every other kind of Crest you can name. Yes, Tom, the value through it. Yes, that is what I want. Yes. Here's another one. Ruck from the Soviet Safeway. Could this be the Crest you're looking for? We also have Lucerne cottage cheese. Now, that is cavity protection. I want tartar protection. But I'll take cavity protection.
Right.
If we know we have better options at the Target.
Yeah, I think we
can. You know, Tim in Alexandria. Tony, have you tried coffee-flavored toothpaste?
No. But no schmutz in the toothpaste.
Elizabeth Gardner, Austin, Texas. They send pictures.
Yep.
If Michael doesn't find your toothpaste on Amazon, try Walmart. I used to only find the three-pack of Crest at Walmart. I'm sure they have the one with tartar protection as well. Now HEB, it's a popular Texas grocer, also carries the three-pack. That HEB, I didn't know what that was. And that's...
Googling now?
No, that's what Tom said. He said the grocery store in Waco, HEB. Okay, so HEB is sort of like Safeway.
Okay,
that's just
the
name.
Sure.
HEB is a popular Texas grocer, also carries a three-pack. I think I paid $5 for it. Unbelievable.
Five for three?
Unbelievable.
Take that.
Adam Benson, St. John's, Newfoundland. I use Sensodyne. Nicholas Vambass in Albany, New York. Aquafresh Extreme Clean. I only brunch, brush once daily, don't tell my dentist, and floss a couple times a week. However, I use an electric toothbrush and attack tartar and plague like Jim Harbaugh attacks the rules and regulations of the NCAA. No cavities in over 20 years. Tom Lawrence, Utica, New York, raised in Syracuse. Hi, big fan of your podcast and PTI. After listening to the podcast today, I came across Crest toothpaste in our local Target. It's a paste and regular flavor. See photo. I'd be happy to send it to you. A shout out to Lupo's Speedies, a New York Southern Tier food staple.
Absolutely.
Thomas Laurent, we're going to get you to
update. I'm on the HEB website. I can find cavity protection, but not tartar control.
Tartar control. Patrick Vicencio in Laurel, Maryland. Is this the new game? Toothpaste? Mine is Crest Plus Complete. It has scope in the paste. Will the next game be about body wash versus bar of soap or shampoo, which knowing you, you won't use as much? How about deodorant? Gel versus solid? Solid.
Solid.
Arid. Gel. They don't even make Arid anymore.
No.
They don't make
Arid.
What are
dry.
They doing?
You forget to bring in spray.
What are you people doing? From Eileen Robinson in Rochester, Minnesota. I checked Amazon. They have Crest Tartar Control. If there's a Walmart near you, you can check there. I have horrible gums, so I use toothpaste designed for gum care. This is unbelievable.
Everyone wants
from
in.
Leo Valverde in Phoenix. Dear Uncle Tony, so your search for your toothpaste of choice has been unsuccessful. Have you tried the dollar store? The Dollar Tree has a wide selection of toothpaste in the old school tube. Good hunting. From Paul Nelson, longtime listener, but I haven't written since about 2008 or so. Most of the writers are wittier than I am, so I let them do the lifting. Anyway, when you mentioned you used Crest Tartar Control, I finally found an aspect of my life that is in common with you. I use that exact same toothpaste and have also had some issues the last year or two finding it. My go-to is a Safeway near my home in Rockville. Try the larger Safeway near you. Good luck. If they don't have it, I will look into buying you a tube or two. That ought to be enough to last you the rest of your life, right?
Maybe.
From Brandon Borzelli, our friend in Lebanon, New Jersey. Let's get this straight, whether it's Crest, Colgate, gel, or paste. The net result is you have none of your original teeth left. Unless you're running passing routes over the middle on Chuck Bednarik, you may need a lesson on how to brush rather than which product to use. From Mike in Memphis. Binghamton recovered from its defeat to Northwestern by defeating the Keystone Giants, 104-50. I've never heard of the Keystone Giants, but a 50-point-plus win is something that doesn't happen every day. They were a junior college when I was in school. I thought they were still a junior college. They're a private four-year school. Obviously, they do not major in basketball.
No. But that's a nice win by the Bearcats.
Yeah. So I just wanted to read all the Crest things. They're, you know.
But I should also throw out some of my family members from back in England said, don't forget you also used to brush with a toothpaste called McLean's. So from anyone from England that remembers McLean's.
McLean's is a Canadian brand, I thought.
It's in the UK as well.
Yeah. All right. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Can I raise a practical question at this point?
No, we're not going to do
Stonehenge tomorrow.
No, we're not going to do Stonehenge.
Haven't seen you glow like this in ages. Like a little kid who just learned about spaceships. Lately the universe is putting you through phases. But right now this look on your face is contagious. All the waiting and hoping, it's coming, I know it. You've been overdue for something good. Life won't always go how you wish it would. The rain's been falling, doors been closing. They knock you down, but you keep going. It's time you get what you should. Something good. Thank you. watch your garden start to grow. Hit every green light heading home. See stars that you've dreamed about and get everything you want right now. You've been overdue for something good.
Through the heartache, my logic says we don't make sense, but my heart.